Saturday, January 24th. Memorial of St. Francis de Sales, Bishop and Doctor of the Church. The first reading from 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, 11 and 12, 19, and 23 through 27. David returned from his defeat of the Amalekites and spent 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Going to David, he fell to the ground in homage. David asked him, "Where do you come from?" He replied, "I have escaped from the camp of the children of Israel." "Tell me what happened," David bade him. He answered that many of the soldiers had fled the battle, and that many of them had fallen and were dead, among them Saul and his son Jonathan. David seized his garments and rent them, and all the men who were with him did likewise. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the soldiers of the Lord of the clans of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. "Alas, the glory of Israel, Saul, slain upon your heights, how can the warriors have fallen? Saul and Jonathan, beloved and cherished, separated neither in life nor in death, swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Women of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and in finery, who decked your attire with ornaments of gold. How can the warriors have fallen in the thick of battle, slain upon your heights? I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. Most dear have you been to me. More precious have I held love for you than love for women. How can the warriors have fallen? The weapons of war have perished." Haydock Commentary. David rent his garments in sign of grief, as many other nations did. Jonathan always behaved with due respect towards his father, though he could not enter into his unjust animosity against David. David passes over in silence all that Saul had done against himself, and seems wholly occupied with the thought of the valor and great achievements of the deceased. He will not even notice how different was the end of the two heroes. Jonathan died like a virtuous soldier in his country's cause. Saul was wounded, but impiously accelerated his own death through dread of torments and of insult. Though they died, therefore, on the same field of battle, their end was as different as that of the saint and of the impenitent sinner. No character could be more worthy of praise than Jonathan. His breast was never agitated by envy, though he would seem to have the most interest in destroying David. Even Saul had many excellent qualities, which makes Venerable Bede compare him in those respects with Jesus Christ. As most of the memorable persons and events of the Old Testament had a view to Christ on the one hand, and the synagogue on the other. Saul is one of the most striking figures of the reprobation and conduct of the Jewish Church. As he was adorned with many glorious prerogatives and chosen by God, yet he no sooner beheld the rising merit of David than he began to persecute him. So the Jews had been instructed by the prophets and had been selected as God's peculiar inheritance, and nevertheless took occasion from the virtues and miracles of the Son of God to conspire his ruin. The Romans were sent to punish the Jews, who are now become the most abject of all mankind, and are filled with rage, seeing the exaltation of the Christian Church. As Saul was reduced by the Philistines to the greatest distress, and his children were forced to implore the protection of the man whom he had so cruelly persecuted. Saul and Judas may be a warning to us that no person ought to live without fear, since they perished so miserably, though they had been elevated by the hand of God. So says St. Ambrose. The Gospel from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Jesus came with his disciples into the house. Again the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." Haydock Commentary. These relatives were either some of his kindred and friends, or some that were of the same country and town of Nazareth, though perhaps enemies to him. They said, "He is out of his mind." It is not certain who said this, whether his friends or his adversaries. Christ might be called a madman by the scribes and Pharisees when he blamed their vices and when he preached with such extraordinary zeal. If they were his friends that said this of him, they did not think so, but only pretended it, that they might get him safe out of the hands of his adversaries.